Good morning, everybody. Everyone hear me okay down the back?
Yep.
Yes. Great. Okay, thank you very much for coming to hear me speak. I'm joined by my colleagues Erin and Rod down the back, and it's great to have this opportunity to present to you. Quick show of hands, who here in the room owns or works for an organisation that owns Office 365? Great. Okay. And who here is using Microsoft Teams to communicate and collaborate? Fantastic. Towards the end of my talk, I will just give you some insights around what we're doing with Microsoft Teams. And we've got some really great things coming. Anyway, what I'm going to be talking about today is some use cases in the media and entertainment industry that are very practical applications of solving problems in that industry. And the key point is that, number one, it can all be done with technology that you already own, for the most part, as a platform. And number two, these solutions can be really elegant, effective. They don't necessarily need to take a lot of time to implement, and they don't necessarily need to cost a lot to implement as well. The other thing just for this presentation is it's a small room, so please make it interactive. If you've got a burning question on your mind about, you know, how could you do something in your organisation, please stop, more than happy to answer those questions. So a little bit about us, LivePals. We're a software product company that offers a number of different solutions, but I can really distill it down to a very simple proposition, which is that we help people connect to the people, the skills, the services, and importantly, the information and knowledge that they need to be effective in their job. And that's a very simple proposition. But in this world where we've just got so much information being created, what we do is bring it together in a very simple and effective way for our clients. Okay, why does all this matter? And the first point really comes back to Office 365 itself. The company's invested in it. You're almost certainly using some basic parts of it. Certainly using email. Almost certainly using the Office suite. But thereafter, there's all these other bits that are incredibly powerful. But what a lot of the research shows is that a lot of organisations don't take advantage of it. And again, what we do is we help bring it all together in a way that's very, very meaningful for businesses and speaks to any of their unique needs. At a more sort of macro level on that, it's the struggle that we all face with being overwhelmed with enormous amounts of information. We know we need it to be good at our job, but where is it? It's all over the place. How do we bring it together? And one report I read lately estimated that around 25% of information worker time is spent just looking for information they need to get to the next step, to do that next thing. Now, I'm not 100% sure it's quite at 25%, but even anywhere around that, that is a significant time cost to doing something valuable, like creating something new, selling something. It's all about time cost. And again, our technologies are about bringing information together so that it's easy to get to. Finally, as I already mentioned, when you own Office 365, you've already got a lot of bits and pieces that you need. And simple but elegant solutions are a lot closer than you think. They're a lot less expensive than they used to be when you go out and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a large IT project. And they're a lot more predictable for their outcome that you can expect because of the products that now exist. So what I want to do is make this very real for you with some practical examples from our clients in the media and entertainment industry. So a really basic one is a portal dedicated to communicating the importance of information security. I think everyone in this room, being in the industry, understands the significant costs of breaches where some really valuable content could be leaked, not necessarily through any malicious intent, but just through simple bad behaviours and the lack of awareness of the risks. So one of our clients based in New York has created a portal that is a mandatory feature to visit and interact with for all staff. And what that portal does is guide a person through understanding the risks that are out there as it relates to information security, and importantly, educating them on how to mitigate those risks and not be the guy that, you know, caused the big data breach, that caused the big media furor, etc. So, again, what this client has done using some of our tools is bring together all these parts of Office 365 that they already own. Educational videos stored in Microsoft Stream are brought together in a very simple way with infographics that are stored in a kind of intranet solution, brought together with interactive training courses that you work through. And finally, because this company takes this very seriously, the ability to track compliance that a new employee that has just started has been through the material and confirmed that they understand it. And importantly, it's also done on an ongoing basis by employees periodically to make sure that they are up to date with the latest threats. So the key point here, all just using bits and pieces that they own, but a very simple and a very effective solution. And I can say, since this has been in place, there have been no considerable data breaches that have hit the media for this organisation.
Have they been limited?
No, that's correct. Good point. Obviously, one of the points is we can never have a technology like that, an information security portal that will absolutely remove all risk. It's just not possible. But it certainly can make, I think, a significant impact in reducing it. Secondly, one of the technologies that we specialise in as part of what we call the intelligent workplace, conversational assistance. The other term that gets used is chatbots. But how does it, you know, get effectively applied? One of our clients has built a chatbot called Simba, who is an apps concierge. And so what this organisation realised is that they have purchased and invested in tens of different applications, and that adoption of them, and if you consider that adoption is related to a return on your investment in them, is hard to measure. They don't know who's using what, and moreover, the surveys would show that people are just confused about what to use. So the approach that they took was to have a concierge chatbot or a conversational assistant that would guide the people through the selection process based on a criteria of needs that they had, and lead them to both the selection of the correct application for the task at hand, and also importantly all the educational material around how to get up and running with it, how to use it effectively. So far the feedback has been very good, and it's just another example of how something very simple can make a big difference. Okay, another one very specific to media is, as you know, a lot of parent companies will own lots of other sub-brands. And although there are certain messages that are globally relevant, the way that things work in this particular media organisation was that people are very focused on their channel or their brand. So how could they create a system whereby important messages could be filtered to primarily target only people in that particular brand. And that is through channel-based communications publishing, which our platform supports. So effectively, it allows communicators whose job it is to get a message across to be very targeted in their messaging, but importantly, to keep things relevant for the end users. One of the things that we know from research and talking to our clients over many years is that as soon as people who are using technologies like Microsoft Teams or an intranet based on Office 365, as soon as they get the sense that most of the content here is not relevant to me, they drop off, they disengage. And that's a problem for a communicator, because they've invested in this channel to get their message across, and now the people that they're trying to communicate with aren't going there. So one of the core recommendations, and I'll demonstrate some of this in a very basic way shortly, is to be deliberately targeted in the information that you put out so that it's relevant to people in their roles, so that they regard that communication channel like an intranet or Microsoft Teams as valuable to them. They will keep using it, and therefore it is an effective channel for getting your important message across. Finally, one that has been a big success, and the success in this one part of the business has led to this particular media agency adopting it in 7 or 8 other discrete portal solutions, was a simple way to guide their staff through the campaign process. So it's all these different things that should be done for the client based on the size, the complexity, the scope of work, but what should they be doing? It's all very complex. And what their analysis found was that people were being very inefficient, and in one example, just not reusing collateral that already existed. So what this solution did, again, all built on top of Office 365 using the technology they owned, was a campaign roadmap solution that guided the user through the stages of the media campaigns that they were delivering to their clients, and educated them on what should you be doing, when you should be doing it, and most importantly, save some time and effort on recreating that, because here is a library of searchable, filterable materials that you can get access to and repurpose for your client. So again, these are really basic things. These are things that Office 365 can do for us, but it sometimes just requires a bit of planning and, you know, understanding the problem to bring it together in an elegant way. Before I just stop for any questions, just some critical components about any of these solutions that we recommend to all of our clients. And number one is that content is king with these things. It doesn't matter if you produce a beautiful intranet or portal solution to better communicate and collaborate. And it's got all these great features and functions if the content is not good. And I don't mean just good on day one, I mean good on month 3 and month 6 and after a year. So it's absolutely critical with these solutions that there is some governance in play to define who will be responsible and accountable for getting that valuable content up there. It sounds simple, but it is probably the primary point of failure for a lot of our clients in this area, is just a lack of planning around accountability for getting good quality information up there in the system, whatever the channel is. Pretty obvious thing. Number two is to focus on real user needs and not the technology itself. So one of the big points of feedback that we have had about Office 365 is that it's a very large library of disparate apps. And we don't deny that they're very powerful, but they don't necessarily reflect how a real person would use them in their workday. And so what we always encourage organisations to do is stop worrying about what the app is, just just worry about what the user is trying to do, get to the document, share the document, and then we map it out, and then we'll fill in which piece of technology fits later on. It's really to focus on the what, not the how or the where to begin with. And importantly, one of the things that we specialise at LiveTiles is helping users to not worry about what app to use or what system to log in. What's important is what they need to do. And as we say, we bring that together into a single pane of glass experience, which I'll show a little bit later. Finally, and I've already talked about this, role-based personalization really does matter. I can't emphasize enough how important relevant targeted content is to the success of these Office 365 based portals. Just before I do a demo, I've got a few questions for everyone out there. The first one, and please feel free to let me know if it's relevant or not, is do you think the media and entertainment industry, in particular film and television studios, would use Microsoft Teams for secure communication and collaboration with seasonal workers? Is anyone in that space? People that aren't necessarily employees, but they're brought in for the purposes of the period in which the production of the show.
For production of the show, not sure. Seasonal worker, if they're more on the corporate tech side, the project management, then yes, they would use Teams. But production, that for us, we really haven't embraced Teams.
Sure. And what are some of the challenges that you've experienced with rolling out Teams?
We're just now rolling it out.
Sure.
And we're just now starting to roll it out actually to the general population. We haven't even really had production.
Yeah, cool. And are there any sort of information security concerns? Because one of the things that Teams, it's becoming very popular, to use that term, it's gone viral in a lot of enterprises. Are there any concerns about the ease at which someone can create a team, add a document? I mean, it could be a script, it could be a...
I mean, there are people who do worry that there isn't the county administration singular group who does the administration. But in general, that's the beauty of why Teams is so good.
It's organic and it just happens.
Yeah.
One of the things that we're trying to focus on is can we introduce some kind of provisioning and governance component? And we're going to be releasing this very shortly. In fact, we just have that tries to keep that spirit of this is a quick way to get collaboration happening, but also put in place some very basic controls that would mitigate the risk of something being shared that shouldn't to the wrong audience. So that's certainly something to keep in mind. Anyone else down the back?
Yes, that's the thing. So we're actually at CAA, we're pretty much collaborating with the other folks. So I would say the collaboration isn't necessarily seasonal, and probably this is true. Intercompany, but it could also be independent film producer or something like that. I think what you've seen is almost a lot of people self-provisioning Slack or other tools because they want to do it. So my first answer would be I'm more worried about people self-provisioning stuff than in fact they sit in our team's tenant is worse to me and even less secure. But if there are some shortcomings on the governance side, so I would see that as all positive. So you know, even like basic things like chat and making it instead of a 30-day retention on it. So, especially in media entertainment, when people check things that maybe they ought not.
Sure. What about your clients? What about collaborating with your clients?
Probably not. And we'll see over time. I think in the short term, probably not their preferred. They're gonna do whatever they want to, I think. But probably, it depends on the day.
Sure. And what about, please.
So I was going to say, for us, I'm Sony Pictures, so we know what happened a couple years back. So we secure everything. It's difficult, right? So we have a governance process to open up Teams for people. SharePoint's behind all of that. So we have data retention issues, you know, data governance. So there's a lot more that I think maybe some other folks have to deal with. But we have to deal with all of that. And every single thing we do in Microsoft Teams, on Microsoft Suite goes through InfoSec, goes through legal, goes through privacy, goes through the other opcos, goes through global. So we're probably on the other side of everybody else, but because of what happened, we're probably safer than everyone else maybe. It's just a lot harder to do things.
Sure. I think where we're trying to head is to come up with a way that is kind of at least the middle ground, some tooling that will at least expedite some of the governance processes.
And that's what we're trying to do, right? I mean, we can't stop the business from operating. We don't want them, you know, we don't want them to go get Slack. We don't want them to go get other tools. So we have to make sure that we're fast enough so that they're not going out and just getting whatever they want. So it's kind of that balance, but it's hard to balance because it is, you know, we want to be safe at the same time.
Yes, and we also don't want to be the kind of cross-arm game IT people who say no to every request when all that person's trying to do, all that person's really trying to do is find a better way to communicate and collaborate with someone. So, you know, one of the things I've learned is people come out from different perspectives on this, and as I said, we're just trying to release the tools that will put, you know, a better approach and expedite the governance component of it. Because governance is, of course, not something people really want to think about or deal with. It's just something we have to. So we're trying to make it as painless as possible. Another question about Microsoft Teams, and this is for our research, really, and the question is, Teams is being adopted really heavily, and it's kind of competitive to Slack in that space. But what it really does is chat, conferencing, and file sharing. But what about if it could be much more a channel for curated formal content delivery? For want of a better term, what you might call now a traditional SharePoint-based intranet. What about if Teams could also be that place where the interface of Teams would present some of that push communication from marketing, from human resources, from finance, from all the different units. Does anyone have a view on that as to whether Teams could be effective in that space?
Teams goes way beyond that. I mean, yeah, it's that, but it's, I mean, the reason why Microsoft has been big on Teams is because of the extensibility, the way you can snap line of business applications into it and extend the value of it so people can collaborate in line of business applications that have nothing to do with 365. So, I mean, that people who are really leveraging the power of Teams are doing things like that.
Yeah.
Whether it's Adobe Experience Manager or whether it's SAP or whatever it is, you know, there people are plugging Teams into that to do those kinds of things.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
during the collaboration pieces into those line of business applications.
Exactly, that's perfectly said. That's what's happening. And our view is that we're at the very beginning of this, and in a year's time, there's going to be so many more plugins for it. And then again, after that, my personal view is that Teams will become the ubiquitous UI across all Microsoft technologies, and it really does have the potential to do that. Now, that mere potential doesn't mean that we don't need to plan and govern and also design the experience, because it's still very easy to release a confusing, ineffective experience inside Teams. So that's one of the things to keep in mind. Very powerful, but it still does require that governance and thought around purpose and design.
The struggle that we have with Teams, we were early adopters. Microsoft came in to do some work with us a year or two ago, and the client was not good at that point. It's a lot better now, but proliferation is a serious problem for us. So in the same way that the proliferation of self-service SharePoint sites was a problem, the proliferation of Teams is a huge issue. People will spin up a team and use it for 10 minutes and forget about it, and nobody cleans up their mess. So we have a lot of senior executives who are really struggling because they get added to 75 teams. They have no idea where to go.
Yep.
So while I agree, Teams is hugely
extensible and would be great for these kinds of things, how would you know where to find it? Because there's no, to your point, there's no governance over who creates a team, why they create the team. And that can be good, but if you're a member of 75 teams, how do you know which ones to look at?
Yes, and the problem there is that after that initial adoption, it can drop off because people look into the 75 teams and they say, well, these five seem to be about the same topic, and these other ones I don't even know how or why I got added. And my natural response might be, I'm just not going there anymore.
And I'm going to turn off all my notifications for every team because there's too many.
Yeah.
So, that's one of the things that we're struggling with.
And so one of the things that our tooling does is turn off the auto provision and turn on a simple workflow whereby the users select a series of things that they want to see, and it pushes it through a workflow whereby, yes, there's some kind of human intervention, but we believe that the benefits of that outweigh the costs of turning off the auto provisioning. And certainly that's the feedback we've been getting. I'm just mindful of the time, just with the last few minutes, just thought I'd show you something very real, and you know, nothing better than practicing what we preach. This is our kind of internal portal, and just some of the very basic messages I've talked about with ensuring that people have an option to get content that is relevant to them. So in our organisation, and obviously we are a software company of 200, very different context to some of the large organisations you work into. Just one basic example is that our management has determined that everyone must see these grayed out channels, but I can opt into or out of various channels, and it will personalise my view of content and the interface. We believe, and we know from what we hear, that this is critical to adoption of these. If people believe that they can go there and see stuff that's relevant to them, and probably more importantly, not see stuff they don't care about, it's critical. And it's also overlaid with the things that are determined that everybody must see. So in Office 365, you know, not a default technology to allow end users to completely personalise their dashboard, or the content on it, but we do offer that. The other critical piece as it relates to just the basics of Office 365 is taking out the complexity of all the different applications and allowing you to just get to the things that you need. So this element down the left-hand side, which can also run in Teams and other applications, allows organisations to define the apps and the content that are most important to their users and make it a ubiquitous, omnipresent feature across Teams or SharePoint or other applications. And so for the user, the benefit is I don't need to go to this app or that app. I just need to go to this one place and the things that I need. For example, here I've just got open my recent documents, my directory. I shouldn't have to go to find someone with a particular skill to another database. It's all there and I can get it from any part of the Office 365 experience. So that's just some basic examples of how we use it, and we find it an incredibly effective tool. Just, we're at time, so I just want to thank you all very much for coming to hear us talk, and we'd love for you to get in contact. One of our offers is discovery. There's no cost to it in the beginning. We can come in and talk to you and your people about the problems you're trying to solve, and hopefully offer you a very practical and clear approach to that. Erin, who is our VP of sales, is based here in Los Angeles. Erin's down the back here. Please get in touch with Erin, and also Walter, who's in that team, is here today. So thank you all very much for coming by, and please get in touch.
Thank you.